Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, I am. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you, musicians. Thank you. So nice to be back together again. Happy New Year. We're certainly sad to, I guess, the first time in last 27 years or so, we weren't able to have a watch night service, but here we are. We're back together, and we had so many that were either traveling, actually more that were quarantining for one reason or another, some that were actually sick, and we just didn't feel at the time that we could safely do it and, you know, protect all, each and every one of us. And we are at a peak in, well, across the nation with this virus, and the peak is lasting longer than it did the last time. We don't know how much longer before it'll start to drop off again, but we'll just continue to do what we know to do and trust the Lord for everything. And just so thankful for another opportunity to give praise to the Lord. Thank Him for another year that we've entered into. And I sure am looking forward to 2020 just being totally in the rearview mirror. And just a real faded memory, you know. But then again, the Lord has done so much for us, and there's many things that we wouldn't trade for anything in the world. And we know that everything that happens is for a reason, for a cause, and we know that for a child of God, these things just bring us closer to Him, and He just becomes that much more real to us. So we thank Him for that. So God bless you this morning as we want to get into the message this morning. We didn't get to have a New Year's message, but you know, I suppose we'll work that in somewhere, somehow. But we have a thought that we've been on for a little while that we'd like to continue on, and I just think it's real fitting for the start of a new year. So we'd like to look at the border, part 8, and we'd like to read from, once again, from Joshua, the 5th chapter, and we'll start at the first verse. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore. So, you know, these are the ones that they were told to be afraid of, right? These are the ones that the prior generation said they're giants. We're grasshoppers in their sight. And, you know, we'll be eaten up. We'll be devoured if we come into that land. And as they get up to the border, those that are in the land are shaking in their boots. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. So once again, this is not, it's time to get circumcised again. No, there was a generation that came out in the message that was calling them out of the denominations, calling them out of Egypt. That generation was circumcised, but there's been another generation that's been born along the way in the journey, and they're about to cross over into the third pole of the ministry. They're about to cross over into the opening of the word. They're about to cross over into possessing the fullness of their inheritance. And this new generation needs to be circumcised. And the circumcision is rolling off the reproach of Egypt that is rolled upon them along the way. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males. Even all the men of war died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. So it's been 40 years to the day since they partook of the Passover in Egypt prior to leaving Egypt. And now they're partaking of the Passover as they've crossed over into the land. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. I'd also like to read one verse from the New Testament, from Ephesians chapter 1. And Brother Branham told us that the book of Ephesians parallels the book of Joshua. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now recall, on the day of Pentecost, he was separating himself. In the end time, he's gathering himself back together again. That he might gather together in one all things in Christ the Word, both which are in heaven, the dead in Christ, and which are on the earth, those that are alive and remain, even in him. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you this morning, we don't come with our good works or our good deeds or Lord, anything that we can point to ourselves that amounts to anything. But Lord, we come with humble hearts. We come with thanksgiving. We come with anticipation because you do everything well. You exceed our expectations, Lord. In fact, it's not possible for us to fully expect all that you have for us. And we're just so thankful and we're so grateful. And Lord, we want to surrender ourselves as living sacrifices this morning. We want to surrender ourselves as vessels, Lord, to yielded to you so that you could speak, so that you could hear, and so that you could make the very word that we're hearing this morning live in us and be a testimony to this generation that we're standing amongst. Father, we ask that your blessings would be upon each and every one. We know that there are many that are listening in their homes that have either self-quarantining or are sick, or and some are traveling. We just ask that you'd bless those that are listening in this morning, Lord, and bring them back safely amongst us, we pray. And Lord, those that are still traveling, we ask for traveling mercies as well, that they would return to us once again safe and sound. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Forgive us for any complaining that we might have done, Lord. We're living in the greatest hour, the greatest time, the greatest season. We are truly a blessed and highly favored people, chosen in you, a chosen generation, holy, peculiar, chosen unto you. Father, we just ask that you meet every need here this morning, as we know that that's your desire, but you told us to ask that our joy might be filled, or that our thirst might be satisfied, that our need might be met. And Father, we certainly give you all praise and honor and glory. And Lord, we just want to tell you how much we love you once again as we usher in a new year. Lord, we're not going to make some kind of a resolution that that man can't really say what he might do or what he might not do, but Lord, we do commit ourselves to you once again, recommitting ourselves into your hands. And Lord, we do ask that you would take us further this year than we've ever been before. And we certainly give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I've got I've got the sword here again this morning. I just thought it was, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. Well, what's something that's not a picture, but it's actual something that's in your hand? What is that worth? You know, it's a we know that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, as Paul shared with us in the New Testament. And we know that the word cuts, and we know that it's so sharp that not only is it cut, it removes anything that's offensive, anything that's hurtful, and it heals on its way out. Now, it will leave a scar. It's not plastic surgery. There will be a scar, but we thank the Lord for these scars, because what they are is they're reminders to us. We can look back and say, here's where the Lord dealt with this in my life. Here's where the Lord dealt with that. Here's where the Lord healed me of this or that. Amen. So we recall in this little series that we've been in, we recall in our study of the children of Israel as they crossed over the border, we found that God told Joshua to circumcise the new generation. And when they were brought out of Egypt, they were circumcised, and the purpose of it, in types and shadows, the purpose of it was to roll back symbolically the reproach of Egypt that was upon them. And they came to a place just, you know, very early on in their journey. I think it was something like 13 days into their journey. They came to a city that was called Kadesh Barnea. A decision was made at that particular place. They were called to make a decision. It was a showdown. And they were to send out spies to examine the promised land and bring back a report. Moses is giving he's put the vision before them of what God told Abraham, that there's a land that floweth with milk and honey, and it's your inheritance, and I've given it to you and your fathers. And Moses' commission is to take them out of a land and into a land, and he's leading them by vision, and he's leading them by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and he's told them what's in the land, and then they're told to, you know, it's like us when we first decide whether we're going to follow the message or not. We hear about it, certain things are told to us, and then we've got to make a decision. Am I going to put this vision before me and pursue after that, or am I going to go do something else? Right. And so they were told, go and spy out the land and see if it's like the prophet said.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so when the spies entered into the land and they looked over the land, they found that it was exactly as Moses had said. It exactly matched word for word what Moses said about it. And they saw everything that Moses told them about, and they found some things that were in the land that Moses didn't say anything about. Moses never mentioned to them that there were giants in the land, or that the land was even occupied by another people or peoples. God told Moses to tell the people that this land was flowing with milk and honey, and that God had given it to him. In other words, friends, you know, Mike and I were talking about this this last weekend. By God's grace, we got to get away for a couple of days, and on New Year's Day, we went hunting for about 2 hours over in the Chiricahuas, and the Lord blessed me with a nice deer, and Mike and I got to have some nice fellowship. And, you know, the name of the little town that's there in the Chiricahuas where we were at is called Portal. And, you know, it's funny how things work in your lives. Sometimes I've told you the story about eating ice cream after eating ice milk for, quite a period of time. And my wife finding some Dreyer's ice cream that was on sale. It was half price, so it meant that, you know, it was what ice milk cost. And she bought that. And we were having that after dinner, and I was eating it, and it broke on me. Ice cream. I get it. You know, ice cream. This tastes like cream. It tastes like cream that's been iced. It's like, duh. You know, everybody else is thinking, yeah. But it broke on me, and it had to break on me, you know, that ice cream. Not ice milk, but ice cream, right? So Sister Baker and I had been talking about it, and then Mike and I were talking about it, that, you know, this little spot there and in Portal in the Chiricahuas, it's kind of a unique place. It's a caldera. There's volcanic activity there, tumultuous activity, you know, eons ago, and it's all kind of settled down. But it's a little microcosm. It's a, you know, there's big trees. There's water that runs year round, even when we've just had the driest year since we've been tracking the climate here in Arizona. We've had the driest year on record. We also had the hottest average year on average on record. And so, but even through all that, there's still water running there. There's still trees that you know, I mean, our cactus are dying here, you know. The trees are still doing well. There's still plenty of wildlife. It's just a kind of a little microcosm, if you will. And Mike and I were talking about, you know, wouldn't it be nice to live somewhere where you just didn't have to labor to make stuff grow, you know? And we was talking about how many, you know, an insect, it might need a square foot to survive through its lifetime, you know, for any particular time, or let's just say for every year, it needs this much space to of habitat, to the things that grow, the thing, whatever it eats, whatever it partakes of, to support its life, right? And then the next thing comes along, the worm eats it, and it needs a little bit bigger space. And then a bird comes over and eats the worm, and it needs, you know, so much more real estate to support its life. And you just, as you continue to move up the food chain, you know, you finally get to man, and we need like acres per person to, you know, for food to be grown, for animals to be pastured, and livestock to be raised, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, we were talking about how when the children of Israel went into the land that floweth with milk and honey, that concept is kind of lost on us. What that means is here was a land that was producing, and you weren't having to, you know, just break your back to get it to produce. It was producing somewhat like it was in Eden. It was just bringing forth. Now, of course, you had to you had to take care of the tares, you had to separate the weeds, and you know, you had to do some husbandman type, you know, the curse hadn't been lifted. And you know, it's as a type of the millennium. There's still going to be some things that go on until after the millennium. So it's not perfection, but it's a lot closer to what God had intended in the beginning than what you and I have now. So you didn't have to labor and break your back to, you know, get one little plot to do something and then sweat all night and hope something didn't eat it and this, that, and the other. It was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was producing. You know, it was the blessings were just pouring out. And you know, that's a type for you and I this morning, is we recognize that our promised land is the opening of the word. And when the word comes open, we don't have to labor to get that word to produce. We don't have to labor to get an abundance out of it. We don't have to labor to you know, every verse is just chock full of vitamins and minerals and power, and it just flows, and we just, you know, we just got to come to church. Amen. So of course, when the spies entered into the land and they looked over the land, they found that it exactly matched what Moses had said. And they saw that everything that Moses had said about it was just as he had said. But then they found that there were things that were there that Moses never spoke of. It's not that he didn't know about it, but it wasn't something that he needed to speak on. He never mentioned that there were giants in the land. He never mentioned that there were others that were occupying the land. But he told them what they needed to know. He told them what they needed to hear, which was, God has given this to you, and he's going to go with you. And that's all they needed to hear. God doesn't need to tell us in the beginning of our walk. He doesn't need to tell us about all the trials that we're going to go through. And you're going to face this. And COVID's going to come in 2020. Did you know that? And here's how long it's going to last. And here's whether you're going to get it or not. And all that God needs to tell us is, I will be with you. Even in you. Along the way. Praise his wonderful name. So he tells us, you know, I have given unto you exceeding great and precious promises. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I have made you to be partakers of my divine nature. And I have given you the land. So friends, if he is with us, what does it matter what we'll face? What does it matter what trial that we're going to face? Praise the Lord. Who can stand before us? When he is our God, who can stand before us? So giants and occupants squatting on our land, they are absolutely nothing to God. He is the great and mighty conqueror, friends. Why would we need to tell the people about the giants that are in the land? Why would we need to go through the first, second, and third poll of what a temper is this morning? And describe to you in all kinds of detail what it looks like and how it acts. And, you know, who cares? We've been given temperance, amen, to battle temper. So why would he need to tell the people in great detail what was on their land when you're just going to go in there and drive them out by the grace of God? When the 10 of the 12 renowned men who were chosen to represent the 12 tribes. Now, friends, I want you to understand that people choose their leaders. And these were handpicked, one from each tribe, representing each tribe. When 10 of these 12 saw the giants that were in the land, their hearts melted. And we just read to you where those that were in the land, their hearts melted, and just hearing that the children of Israel had crossed over the Jordan River. So here are these 10 spies that are supposed to, that are representing 10 of the tribes. They're coming back to give a report. And the scripture tells us their hearts melted with fear and unbelief in their ability to inhabit and possess this land that had been promised 400 and, you know, almost 500 years prior to their forefathers. So 10 of these leaders, they brought back a negative report saying, we can't do it. In other words, God can't keep his word. God said this, but we can't do it. We're too frail. We're too human. Now, of course, they didn't say it in exactly those words. Nobody's that dumb. They window dressed it. But the meaning of what they said is, we can't do it. That God's a liar. They said, when asked, of course the land is good. We know better than to contradict the prophet's message. He's still on the scene. We believe the message. And of course it's like he said that it was. Surely it floweth with milk and honey. It's rich. And here's the fruit of it. We brought back some evidence. Try it out. See if it isn't so. Numbers chapter 13, verse 28. Just as we're speaking on this, we'll just refer to it here for a few moments. Nevertheless, now as we've spoken on this before, we pointed out to you that in the English language, there are conjunctions that we use. And there's and, there's but, there's nevertheless, and so forth. And the way sentences are constructed, generally what you do when you're trying to persuade, when you're trying to convince, when you're trying to tell somebody a story, you start off with the good part of the story, the part where you feel that everybody's going to be in agreement. So you start off with, yeah, the land's a good land. The prophet's message is true. It's exactly what the word of the Lord says. It's exactly, we saw it. He told us what the vision was. We went over and we saw firsthand. And here's some evidence, comma, but. Or but, comma. One way or another. A conjunction. And that conjunction then is followed by, so first of all, you start off with what you think people want to hear. Where you might be in agreement. And then you follow it up with, now here's, you know, this might not be the happiest part of the story, but here's what I really think. Nevertheless, the land is a good land. The land floweth with milk and honey. It's rich. Of course it's a good land. Surely it floweth with milk and honey. Here's the fruit of it. Nevertheless, but the people be strong that dwell in the land. So, and your point is? Those habits are strong. And your point is? What's the new birth for anyway? And the cities are walled. The book of Revelation is sealed. There's seven seals upon this book. We can't possess this. The cities are walled. They're closed to us. Surely it floweth with milk and honey, but nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled, and very great are these walls. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The book is sealed to us. No man is worthy to look upon the book or to loose the seven seals that are upon this book. That was true. It's no longer true. We can't look upon it. Neither can anyone even touch it. That used to be true. We'll wait for Moses to come back. We'll stay on this side. He's going to die. Then he's going to come back. And he'll take us into it. But we'll just wait. We'll just stay over here in Moab and listen to tapes. Like the tribe of Ephraim and half the tribe of Manasseh did. We'll wait for Moses to come back. Doesn't that sound good? A message that doesn't have enough power to take you into all the way into the promise. Verse 29. The Amalekites. Oh, we told you about the children of Anak. And we saw the Amalekites. And they dwell in the land of the south. Oh, and there's the Hittites. And did we tell you about the Jebusites? And did we tell you about the Amorites? As if this isn't enough. Now we're telling ghost stories. They dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites. Oh, but they're over by the sea. And by the coast of Jordan. We'd be surrounded. In other words, there's temper over here, and there's impatience that's living over there, and we're no match for that. And there's unbelief just to the west of us, and there's weakness that comes along with it, not enough strength to even attend church regularly. There's worldliness over here in the mountains instead of godliness. There's ignorance to the word instead of knowledge over by the coast of Jordan. No kindness can be found anywhere in the land. There's no brotherly kindness. And oh, when it comes to the love of God, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my word. There's no way that agape love could be found in this land. We can never be in agreement together with one another over his word. Well, somebody's going to be. Somebody's going to believe this message. Others are going to make excuses for why it's not possible. Some are going to do it. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. He's like, all right, you heard all the ooh. You heard all the moans and groans, the wind blowing through the dead trees. You heard about all the days of miracles have passed, and this isn't possible, and that is, be careful. You've heard all of that. You've heard of all these ghost stories and bloody bones and hairy head. Now let me tell you the message. I'm going to say exactly what the prophet said. Caleb stilled the people before Moses, before the message, before the messenger. Stilled the people and said, forget all of that. You know what? Let's go at once. Not, oh, yeah, well, here's how to, and here's the, and then the, and then consider, and the. No, let's go. Oh, we don't have a plan. We have a plan. Let's go. And let's go at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. Well, how can you say it? It's not me that's saying it. It's my messenger. It's my message. It's the word.
Amen.
It's what's been promised.
Amen.
Even if I don't think I can face it.
Yeah.
He said I can.
Yeah.
You can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth you.
Yeah.
We've all been circumcised, he said. Now, only believe.
Amen.
Only but we got to figure this out. We got to figure that out. We got to figure this out. Only believe.
Yeah.
All things are possible.
Amen.
Nothing shall stand before your prayers. The angel of the covenant goes before us, friends, and has prevailed. Has prevailed to open the land, to open the book and to loose the seals thereof, and to give us back the title deed that went back into the hands of the original owner and has been there until the coming of the Lamb, the coming of the kinsman redeemer, to bring it back into the hands of man. Hallelujah. Caleb said, he's the great and mighty conqueror. He's the great warrior. He said, oh no, Joshua is. Joshua is is foreshadowing the Holy Spirit, who is our great and mighty conqueror, who is our leader, who is our guide. He's the one that knows the way. He's the one that's leading us through all dangers, all tests, all trials. Oh, friends, he knows the way. He knows everything that's in our path. He knows everything that we will face. And he's already dealt with it. But we still have to go through it. We still have to fulfill the vision that we've been seen in. You say, we, the people of the book, the people of the open book, if you could find your name in there, if the Lord speaks to you and shows you, if you find your identification in this book, in your day, it's yours. The land is yours. He is the great and mighty conqueror. He is the angel of his own covenant. And he descended with a rainbow upon his head to show us that he's the covenant angel and that he's kept his word. He has made us, as we read in 2 Peter, he has made us partakers of the divine nature. These virtues have been added to us. Friends, these are not things that we learn and we have to somehow be trained or start some kind of a movement to set ourselves aside and call ourselves seven thunders and say that they're the seven virtues. And friends, if the seven thunders are the seven virtues, well, those are written. We didn't need the book to be open to tell us, to give us the understanding of that, right? The seven virtues that we're speaking of, those are in you when you're birthed of the Spirit of God. Just as a seed has in it every apple that's ever going to come out of that tree, once you plant that seed, every apple that's going to come out of there is in the seed already. Whatever the nature of that tree is going to be, it's in that seed. What you need to do is commit it into the ground. What you need to do is it needs to be quickened to life. What's in it needs to begin to be made manifest. So if you're born again of the Spirit of God, if you're a son or daughter of God, that divine nature is already in you, but needs to be made manifest. And it's the trials that we go through that bring them out in our lives. Verse 31. So, Peter tells us we've been made partakers of this divine nature, that these virtues have been added to us and are being manifested through us. And he says, make your calling and election sure. Well, we've made our calling and our election sure, and we've done these things, and Peter finishes by saying, if you do these things, you shall not fall.
Hallelujah.
If you do these things, you shall not fall. So friends, what are we waiting for?
Hallelujah.
We're waiting for Brother So-and-so. We're waiting for this. We're waiting for Brother Branham. We're waiting for this event. We're waiting for that event. What are we waiting for? We've done all the things. We've made our calling and election sure. We've seen these elements of the divine nature. We know that they're in us. And we're seeing them manifest as Brother Branham gives us an example, he says, I was working for the Indiana Power Company, and I went over to a certain lady's house, and I had to, you know, there are unpleasant things that come with your job. There are things that you like, and maybe about 20%, and there 80% of it, maybe 60% you don't particularly care for, and maybe another, see if my math is right, another 20% you really don't want to do, but as long as you get to do the 20% that you like to do, you'll put up with the 80%, right? So he has to turn off this woman's power. He knocks on her door, tells her he's sorry, what he's there for, and she just reads him the riot act. She calls him a kinky-headed idiotic, and then goes further than that, calls him a Kentucky squab. He says, you know, I knew something had happened. I knew that there was a change that had taken place in my life. He said, if I, in times past, if I had to get a ladder and step on it to get up to punch you in the mouth, I'd do it. If you said something, he said, now I might have let that go. He said, but I never let anybody say something about my mother and let that go. So he's being called a Kentucky squab. You know, it was in reference to his mother not being, her having some Native American blood or whatever. And he said, I don't care if you're a woman. I would have hit you for saying something about my mother. Why? That's a temper, right? He said, I had a temper that would fight a buzzsaw. And friends, if you think about it, if anybody's ever seen a buzzsaw, I don't know how many RPMs or revolutions per minute that this blade turns, but, you know, I would imagine it's in the thousands of revolutions per minute. And here's a blade that's just spinning, and you are so angry that you're going to punch that saw blade, right? A temper that would fight a buzzsaw, right? You're so mad, you're going to hit that with your, you know, go ahead and kill yourself and show everybody how you're big bad Bill, how you're big bad this one or that one, right? It's insanity, right? But a temper that's gone so far and it's completely out of control. Now, friends, before I go any further, we learned something that we didn't realize when we were trying to manufacture the virtues. We thought that it was sin to have a temper. But we see Jesus plaiting ropes, and he's whipping the taskmasters that had turned the synagogue turned the tabernacle into a den of thieves and a house of money changers. And we read many times throughout the scripture where God gets angry, right? But then we also hear, be angry and sin not. So a temper, you better have a temper. If you don't have a temper, let's say I come home and God forbid, I come home and there's another man in my house and he's ravishing my wife. If I don't have a temper, I'll walk over to him and say, sir, that's really not nice what you're doing. And I'd appreciate it if you stop. And my wife's kind of sensitive and she, you know, we're coming up on our 40th anniversary. She kind of means a little bit to me. And, you know, I'm not sure that I could start making my own dinner at this point in the game. And so, sir, I'd appreciate it if you just back up. But, you know, I don't want to be offensive. And I want to be, you know, what's the word they're using now? Woke. I want to be, you know, I want to make sure I use all the right words because, you know, Christians are just something that you can roll over. You know, Little House on the Prairie, everybody's taking advantage of you. You got a long dress on, long hair, and a big long face to go with it. A long tongue, and must Jesus bear the cross alone? Christians are not wimps. We're not told to be a coward. We're not told to just let people roll all over us, right? There's a temper there, and there needs to be a temper, right? Brother Brown tells us a story about Mr. Cartwright that came into a town. He's going to have revival meetings, and a town bully raises up, and he's got a history of doing this, of not allowing revivals to take place in the town and going after the ministers. And so Peter Cartwright, I believe it was his name. And so this bully comes to him and says, well, if you're going to, he says, what are you doing? Well, I'm fixing up this hall because, well, what are you doing that for? Because I'm going to have meetings. Well, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to come through me first. So he rolls up his sleeves. He comes down from the ladder. Punches the guy several times, looks at him, said, have you had enough? He said, yeah. He says, all right, what else do I have to do? Right? Because we're going to have these meetings. The Lord has shown me by vision that we're going to have these services. The Lord has shown me that I've got to fulfill this purpose. The Lord has shown us it's a good land. The Lord has shown us it's been promised to us. The Lord has shown us that there'll be a generation that will not hinder those that are asleep. The Lord has shown us that there are going to be people with a clear title, with no liens. I have somewhat against thee. The Lord has shown us there's going to be a time when the word is restored, the fullness of the word, and people are going to walk in it. And those that have went on before us will no longer be hindered by our unbelief. All the reasons why the rapture can't take place. There's a people that are going to walk into this full promise. The vision has already been declared. It's already been seen. There's people of the open book that are walking in it. What do we got to do? Whatever is in our way. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, why worry us about, well, you're going to face this, and then this is going to happen, family member's going to die, whatever it is that we have to face, that we go through, what possible, I'll just be honest with you this morning, friends, I hope I'm always honest, but I'll be honest with you, if I knew some of the things that I was going to have to face, I would have went a different direction. I wouldn't have not served the Lord, I would have never moved to Tucson. And yet, I'm exactly where the Lord told me to be. And He's vindicated it. But I've suffered more here than any other place I've ever been. But I've also grown more than I would have grown any other place. Amen? It's a harder way, but it's the right way. So I'm glad that He didn't show me. Because at the time, you don't even think you can get through it. But you just commit yourself into the hands of the Lord, and He takes you through the other side. Praise the Lord. So Caleb says, well, let me back up. So Brother Brad said, I knew something had taken place. I knew there'd been a change in my life. He says, instead of all of that, he said, I felt sorry for the little feller. Talking about this woman. I felt sorry for her. He gave a soft answer. He didn't want to kill her. He didn't want to hit her. But he knew that his first nature would have either hit her or come real close to it. But he said, something came over me. It's not a workup. It's in you. You've been born again of the Spirit of God. It's not something you got to try to do. It's something you got to just get out of the way and let the Lord have control, because that nature is now in you. Well, praise the Lord. So Caleb said, what are we waiting for? Peter says, let's grow up into these things. Paul says, let's grow up, let's mature, let's come to the fullness. Let's take possession of these things at once. Friends, we're the people of this open book. There's nobody coming after us. You can't say, well, you know, I've went as far as I could, and I ran real hard, but there's a super duper group coming after us. You know, they never do nothing wrong. And, you know, in other words, they're not human. That's the miracle of all this, is that God can do this in frail human flesh. Not only did He say He's going to do it, but He's doing it. And I got to tell you this morning, friends, the demons on the other side are trembling. Oh, they might be buffalo, and some of us, they might be, have some of us ignorant. We need knowledge and temperance and patience. These things need to come into manifestation in our lives. We may be ignorant of the promises, but once you catch a hold of it, that's what they're afraid of. They're afraid of you finding out who you really are. Because once you find out, there's no going back. Once you find out, they're done. They're shaking in their boots. It's just a matter of time, but they're done. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not. You know, it's just one word that was changed in the garden. Surely you will not die. For the Lord hath said. So they're quoting the message, just as Satan quoted the message to Eve and changed one word. These men, they're coming up with a denominational thought here. Their message is a message of unbelief and doubt. They're anointed of Satan. And they said, we be not able to go up against the people. We can't do it. For they are stronger than we. You know what that's a type of? Nobody can live this. Nobody can live this message. Nobody can overcome temper. Nobody can overcome impatience. Nobody can overcome ignorance of the word. Nobody can overcome unbelief and have faith. Nobody can go from being worldly to being godly. No one can have this brotherly kindness. It's just, you know, it's just amazing grace, and let's just continue living a disgrace. You know, God knows. He understands. He knows our heart. That's right. That's why there's a change that's supposed to come. Friends, either there's a truth to this or there isn't. There isn't going to be some people that partly live this and partly don't. You can't be partly pregnant. You're either pregnant or you aren't. You can't be sort of drunk. You're either drunk or you're sober. You can't be sort of an overcomer. You either are or you aren't. You can't even be a Christian. You either are or you aren't. You can't be born again, sort of, part way. You either are or you aren't. That divine nature is either quickened, is in you, and it is quickened, or it's not. Hallelujah. So the men that went up with him said, "We be not able." Can you imagine? He's preaching. And a guy stands up while he's preaching. Says, Friends, demons do that all the time. Yeah. Demons will sit on your little shoulder, or your big shoulder, or your medium-sized shoulder, whatever. They'll whisper in your... Now, don't believe that. No, that's not true. Or in a way. Or that might be true for somebody else. Or in the future, when Brother Branham comes back. That's the devil talking to you. A lion spirit. "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Caleb looked at him and says, "Speak for yourself." I say the same thing this morning, friends. Speak for yourself. Sure, we're no match for them after the flesh, but I never said I'm going after them after the flesh. Paul said, "We battle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and powers and principalities from on high." Amen. So I say, speak for yourselves, those that say we can't do it. I say, just as Caleb said, we are more than able to possess our portion of the word for our day. We are more than able. We are more than able to take a rapture. We are more than able to take a body change. We are more than able to overcome in Satan's Eden. I love how God is getting the last word, friends. Satan's saying, just give them to me and I'll have them curse you to your face. God says, well, go ahead. You can do everything, but you can't touch that life. You can do everything. Don't touch the oil or the wine. Amen. Here's the limit that I'm putting on you. Satan is going to be proved to be a liar in this hour, and God's having the last word. Satan has given it his best shot, friends. He's come up with his version of Eden, his perfection, as you will. And there's a people that says, this isn't going to hold me back. I'm not going to sell out for it. What I have is greater than that. I'm going to press on, and Satan, even death's not going to hold me back. Amen. We are more than able. As we read in the scriptures, it has been granted to us. It has been granted to us. Not that we earned it. Not that we did it. Granted to us to be clothed in linen pure and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. It's already written. We are more than able to take this book from the hand of our kinsman redeemer, as we've been commanded to. And to take it and eat it and to prophesy again. In other words, to say the very same thing, only with understanding. Not as some dumb parrot. Oh, just say what he said. A parrot can do that. But a parrot's not going to have a body change. Well, it will. It'll change back into the dust that it came from. Or it'll be part of that food chain I was telling you about. Part of my acre. We're more than able. Boy, this is the quietest group I ever preached to. It's New Year's, friends. It's time for us to take what belongs to us. But I'm afraid to, I'm afraid. Boo, devil. God, if God has given you something, you're more than able. If God has said, take it at once, you're more than able. If God has loosed the seals, you're more than able. If God said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. If he said, I'll be with you, I'll be in you, I'll guide you, I'll lead you into all truth, I'll keep you, I've got you in the palm of my hand, Satan can't take you, he can't touch you, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Can COVID, can disease, can persecution, can loss of life, loss of family, loss of job, can any of these things separate us from the love of God? Not a one. We are more than able to possess what God has given us for this hour. Hallelujah. We are more than able under our messenger to speak the truth in love. To take possession of every divine promise given to us by the word, friends, and to do the will of our Father, which has sent us. So you guys, you devils, you doubters, shut up. Shut your mouths. You are liars. Oh, that's all. Oh, Christians don't talk that way. Oh, they don't? Well, let's see how God talked about them in the first church age, in the Ephesian church age. In the Ephesian church age, he said, you've tried those that say they are apostles, and you found them to be liars. Amen. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hang your pants on a telephone wire. You're liars. He says, and how did you try them? They say they are apostles. They say they have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but signs are not following. You guys are liars, and we found you to be liars. You're establishing kingdoms. You're establishing something for yourself. You're calling yourself the husband of the church when Christ is the husband. Amen. You've established some kind of false doctrine. You've established some kind of a movement. You tell everybody when to stand up. You tell everybody when to sit down. You make up new rules as you go along. You're liars. You're liars. You're liars. Because the Holy Ghost in me is not doing that. The Holy Ghost in me is doing something else. The Holy Ghost that you claim that you have, no signs following. Oh, but we're not sign seekers. I don't care if you're seeking signs or not. Signs are following them that believe. And they follow them that believe because it's Christ in you. And wherever he goes, oh friends, actually, wherever he goes, there's noise. If Brother Brown said, this is the quietest place that you'll ever be. If you go to hell, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. You go to heaven, just try and shut me up. All the hallelujahs and the praise the Lord and glory to God. I made it. I made it over. Once was lost, but now I'm found. I made it. Over, 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 over. I'm just getting you warmed up. Somebody sing the next verse. Hallelujah. I made it over. I made it over. Over, over, over. Oh, friends, you just can't imagine what it's going to be like when we cross that finish line. But we've got a race to run, and we'll run it well. But there'll be shouts and glories, and this is the quietest place you'll ever be. Where Jesus went, there was noise. They were either wailing and gnashing their teeth at him, or they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Glory unto God. You'll leave here sad, glad, or mad. But you won't leave the same way you came in. You can't. This word is power. This word is life. We're not here for a seminar. We're here to be changed from glory unto glory unto glory. Well, it sounds like you're speaking against this person or that person. It's not personal. It's not flesh and blood. I can't help it that Satan uses flesh just like God uses flesh. But I'm going to stay with that word. If the first church called them liars, I'll call them liars. Actually, the word calls them. I'm just agreeing with the word. I'm not going to call him a liar. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. If the signs aren't following, then you're not a believer. Oh, that's a horrible thing to say. It's the truth. And I say it in love. You can become a believer. If you just die out to yourself, get born again. Hallelujah. You don't have to die an unbeliever. You can become a believer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You say that you are apostles and you are not. We put you to the test. And we found you to be liars. Verse 32. Numbers 13, 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, oh, through which we have gone to search it, it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Well, how did you get back here then? If you weren't eaten up. You must not have went into the land because you said the inhabitants. You must have been on a border. Oh, you're one of those borderline believers. You walk up, you tasted it, and then walk away. It's impossible for you to ever. You've sinned away your day of grace. You're done. Now, friends, I'm not talking about, I worried about this. When the truth came to me in full force, I wondered if I'd sinned away the day of my grace because I'd spoken some word out of ignorance. It's not speaking it out of ignorance. It's when you know, when the truth has been presented to you and you know that it's the truth and you compromise, you're done. The land through which we have gone to search it, it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. The land. So instead of it being a land that flows with milk and honey and you're eating what flows from the land's eating you. Well, I've been to places like that. Poison ivy, poison oak, mesquite, cat claw. Yeah. In this fallen world, the land does seem like it's trying to eat you. The scorpions and the snakes and whatever else. But that's not this promised land. This open book was not given to me to devour me. Oh, this is fresh. It was given for me to devour. Take this open book out of the hand of the angel. Christ, Brother Branham said, could not be anyone else. The angel of his own coming. Take this book and eat it. And I did. And guess what? It was sweet in my mouth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It was bitter in my belly. Why? Because it started a war. But I made it over. I'm saying that ahead of time. I made it. I'm not going to try to make it. Oh, you'll see your husband again. Why? Because you made it. How? By overcoming. What does it mean to overcome? It means to come over. Whatever it takes, you'll be there. Right? You're just going to finish your race. You know, right now you're a shining light to your family. There might be a nephew. Who knows? We don't know when our race is done. But when it's done, it's done. But there may be others that the light that's in your life is affecting. And when it's done, then you go over and you sing that song. I made it over. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You say, Brother Baker, this is kind of foolish. Yeah, the foolishness of preaching. We got to get beside ourselves long enough to get saved. Open. Look down to unlock. All right. you will open. Excuse me. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. I never seen a temper like that before. It's in your pedigree. You'll never overcome it. Grandpa had it. Great grandpa had it. Grandma had it. You got it. It's a great one. Paul passed by a place called Mars Hill. We had the privilege of visiting it here a couple years ago, Sister Baker and I, and my son Ben and his wife Allie. And we went by that place called Mars Hill, and of course they had a god for everything that they could think of, and then they had a statue to the unknown god in case they missed one, you know. And Paul said, well, yeah, you did miss one, and I came here to tell you about him, and he's the one that is God. But as Paul's passing by, you know, they're wanting to listen to this, and, you know, seven thunders and seven souls and two souls and whatever, eighth pull. And so Paul said to the worshipers there, in Acts 17, verse 32, he said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. And if you look up the meaning of that word superstitious in this particular instance, it means giving reverence to devils. So when you say we can't do what God told us to do because of these other gods, because of these demons that dwell in our land, because of temper, because of impatience, because of ungodliness, because of a lack of love, they are too strong. They will devour us. When you say that, you're not being humble. You're worshiping devils. You're saying that those inhabitants, those spirits that somehow attached themselves to your DNA and came down through your family tree, you're saying they're too great. You're saying they're stronger than God. You're saying there's not enough power of this blood to break you free from your first family tree. This temper is too great. Brother Doug, I just never know when it's going to go off. Yeah, and everybody that's in your house feels the same way. They walk on eggshells around you because your name is really Mount Vesuvius. And the volcanic is just bubbling at the top. And the lid's going... Bloop, bloop. You do something, you say, excuse me, and you see that look. And there's a little... Bloop, bloop. And you're thinking, oh no. Help me, Brother Doug. Go start the car. Mom's going to go off. I just know it. I don't even know what set her off this time. All I know is I've been hearing the rumbles. You know, first she snapped at Dad, then she snapped at Sister. Now it's my turn. Run! All kinds of things come out that she didn't really mean, he didn't really mean. All kinds of things are said. Damage everywhere, lava everywhere, molten bodies melted in place. I can't face this thing down, Brother Doug. It's not my fault. It's in my family tree. I was born that way. That's right. Get born again. What do you think the new birth is for? What do you think we're overcoming? You're not overcoming COVID. You're not overcoming Republican or Democrat. Some of you need to. That was free. What you're overcoming is your demons. Your devils. What you're fighting. What's on your land. That was already there when you went to possess it. But now you're running it off of your mountain so that you can take your mountain. If I face it down, it's going to prevail. Then it goes a step further from that. Well, you know, I was embarrassed at first that I blew up again, but you know, now that I've had time to cool off, really it was your fault. You pushed my button. Well, that's what you get for having one. If you've got a button, it'll get pushed. If not me, somebody else. Problem is, get rid of the button.
Yes.
Get rid of what's getting pushed. Oh, I know you've tried. Quit trying. Get born again.
Amen.
Let that divine nature take over without a thought. I can't get over this anxiety. That runs through the family tree. Friends, we can go on and on and on. And all of these things, there'll be something in here for everybody. I can't get over this anxiety. Oh, really? And you're upset about so-and-so's temper? We don't fellowship with so-and-so anymore because they got a temper. Okay, but your anxiety's okay? How about the fact that you tattle all the time? That's all right? Want me to keep going?
Yes.
How about the fact that you got to be in control of every situation? You're afraid to let go. That's okay? Where did we get this idea that there's good demons and bad demons? Well, I can't fully trust. And you're upset about somebody's temper. Well, you don't know what I've been through, Brother Doug. That may be true. What's that got to do with anything? He does. And he said, you're more than able. But I've been hurt so bad, and I've been ravaged by this pastor, and I've been abused by that church. Well, welcome to Satan's Eden. What did they do to Jesus? And he said, you know what? If they did that to me, they called me Beelzebub. Well, then don't be surprised when they do it to you. But count it a joy. Rejoice. When you suffer for the Son of Man's sake. Not when you suffer for your temper's sake. When you suffer for the Son of Man's sake. Temper is power under control. So you need to have that temper, but it needs to be in control. We believe Brother Branham had temperance. He told us how, here's what I would have done, and I didn't. Then he's given a vision. And in this vision, he sees this guy with a bulldozer. And he's running over his little white picket fence there in Jeffersonville. Right? How would you like somebody to roll over your fence? Well, if you had grass, you'd probably have a fence. And anyway. Roll over your rocks. Your dead cactus. Brother Branham, in this vision or dream, whatever it was, he said the guy was running his fence down. And he said, come down off of that tractor. He came down and he said he was being smart mouthed toward him. And, the city said to do it, and here I am, and they're going to widen the road. And, it was just real disrespectful toward him. So Brother Branham knocked him. He punched him. And the guy hit the ground. So what did he do? He picked him back up and punched him again. And what happened? He hit the ground. So what did he do? Picked him up, punched him again. This went on and on and on. The guy went down a hill. I've been to his property. There's no hill there. So it must have been quite a ways that he was... This must... To go down a hill? Yeah, anyway. And then he picks him up one final time and he says, I'm not mad at you. I just want you to know that you can't talk to me that way. Now, why would he do that? Temper. Right? Temper is not bad. He was a boxer. Temper is not bad. But it must be under control. Be angry and sin not. Right? So what was he told? He was told, when you see this starting to take place, go west. Avoid this. Why was he told that? Because he would have done what he saw himself doing. He would have done that. Now, imagine. He would have done that. A couple of weeks later, the book comes open. What would everybody be talking about? The opening of the Word, God in simplicity, or Big Bad Bill knocking this guy's teeth out? You think we got troubles now with disbelieve the sign, when they couldn't put a finger on his life? What would they do when they had something that was so human that you could point at, that would be a big stumbling block? Avoid this, right? All things are legal, but not all things are expedient. Well, let that break on you. You don't know what I've been through. I don't need to know what you've been through. I don't care. I mean, I care as a human being, of course. I care as your brother. But there's nothing. Do you realize the unbelief? Do you realize what you're saying? You're saying, because of my circumstances, I can't overcome. I can't take this land. Right? Get over yourself. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Kill that guy. Walk in the newness of life. A new creature in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. That's not just for newborn babes in Christ to sing. You should still be singing that, because you're still a new creation. I ain't getting very far. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come out of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. We looked like to ourselves as this little tiny pipsqueak facing this giant, you know, David and Goliath. We look like David in the face of Goliath. Huh, I've heard this story before. This is their confession. Now, friends, it's all right for you to say, I can't do anything. Without him, I'm nothing. It's all right for you to say that. As long as you follow it up with, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens. I can do whatever he said that I will do. And it's not you, but it's Christ that worketh in you. So we get this. We get the part. And some of us hold on to that a little too long. Some of us just dwell on that. And over and over and over, all we can look at is in our own sight. Well, quit getting your own. Get a different vision. Catch the vision. What do you look like in his sight? We know what you think about yourself. What does he say about you? Let's get a second opinion here. What do I see in this? Happy birthday, Brother Joel. You're 60. And I'm jealous because I'm going to pass you in a few days. And be 61. Enjoy it. What do I see when I look upon Brother Joel? I see something different than what he sees. In a good way. We can be so hard on ourselves and call it humility. It's unbelief. Yeah. The flesh is flawed. I ain't talking about your flesh. That part of you is not eternal. That part of you is not going into that other dimension as it is. That part of you is not in heavenly places right now. That part of you cannot do all things. There are some things that you shouldn't try at home or anywhere else. You know, we took the trailer up for a few days, and we planned, even though I was blessed and I got the deer within a couple hours, we totally intended to be back here for service today, and then we're going to go out again tomorrow and help some others get there, you know, as we can, and just enjoy a little break. I actually forgot about COVID for a couple of days. That's kind of, you know, kind of a nice thing. But in our trailer, so Brother Andy was with us, I guess it was back in September when I was on an elk hunt. He came up for a couple of days, and he said, "Oh," he's in our trailer, "Oh, what is that sound?" And I thought he was pulling my leg, you know. "What is that noise?" And it's, you know, all I can hear is the ringing in my ears. It's deadly quiet outside, you know. No wind, nothing. He says, "Oh, it's killing me." And I'm thinking, "What?" And then he's thinking, "You're pulling my leg, right?" He says, "You can't hear that?" You know, I don't know what it, 12 kilohertz, 14 kilohertz, at certain level, certain frequency of sound, it's towards the higher end of frequency. And I said, you know, I'm just thinking, okay, there'll be a punchline here somewhere, you know. Just trying not to be the punchline. So I look at my wife, "Do you know what he's talking about?" "No." Right? He says, "It's painful." He's like, "Ah, man, how do you guys... I got to get out of here. How do you guys put up with this?" And I'm still thinking, what in the world? And he pointed to where it was coming from, and I kind of put two and two together. There's I guess it wasn't deadly quiet. We have the generator going outside, but it doesn't make too much noise, and I'll get to that here in just a moment. I don't think it makes too much noise. But it's charging the battery, and there's a converter circuit that's in there, right? And it's converting the power from an alternating current to direct current. And it's changing the voltage to 12 volts from 120 volts. And so it can charge the battery, and it can run the appliances and things that run off of direct current and voltage. And evidently there's something going south with that circuitry, and something's starting to ring, something's starting to sing a little bit, and it's emitting a high frequency sound, and these 60, almost 61 year old ears can't hear that anymore. Oh, is that humbling? Has it happened to you yet?
Yeah.
You? I was in denial, and I don't mean the river that runs north in Egypt. Denial? I did not want to accept that. I did not want to believe it. In fact, I'm probably like some of you youngsters here. I never thought I'd use that word, because I still think I'm young. I thought, man, I'm not going to become hard of hearing. I'm not going to go, "What? Huh? What?" I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to make noise when I tie my shoes. I'm not going to talk about body parts that are hurting that I didn't know I had before, because now they hurt. Not me. And I won't need reading glasses like everybody else. I fought that devil for 3 years. So I finally humbled myself and got some trifocals. Say, "Why don't you have them on now?" Because I got lenses inside my eyes that are prescription now. Yeah, that happened too. I got cataracts. It's growing older is not for sissies. I couldn't hear it. Mike's with us. Same deal. He's like, "Oh, ow, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ooh. What?" Well, he even took it a step further. He downloaded this little app that's called a frequency generator, you know. And it'll actually, you can choose a certain frequency, and it'll make the sound so that you can listen to it to see what that particular frequency sounds like in the in the audio spectrum, you know, whether it's kind of like when you go to the doctor and the hearing doctor, and can you hear this? And, you know, is it right ear and left ear or whatever, right? So he plays it up to a certain point, and I don't know, I think it was maybe 12, 13 kilohertz, somewhere in there. The next, so let's just say it was 12 kilohertz. Oh, I could hear it, and it was painful. And then he raised it up in frequency a little bit, and I guess I'm not a dog because I couldn't hear that. You know, they tell you these things, how to repel a dog, get one of these high-frequency whistles, you know, you blow it, and you won't hear it, nobody will hear it, but the dog will be going, ah, and he'll run away, and he won't bite you. And you think, ah, no, that couldn't be. Yeah, it could. It could. I can't hear that anymore. Isn't that sad? Let's have a funeral. Better yet, let's go to lunch. I'll take you through the first, second, and third pull of what I can't hear anymore. But you know what the flip side of that is, Brother Oscar? One of the reasons why that generator sounds so good, I can't hear it. I thought it was just a good generator. There's a silver lining in there somewhere. Some of you are looking, I just don't. If the Lord tarries, you'll be there. I'm not wishing it on you. I hope that you can hear the converter in my trailer until the day you die, if you so desire. We get it that in their own sight, we are as grasshoppers. We've all been there. You have to go through that. In fact, part of dying out is recognizing you're worthless. You're a mess. Yes. That in your humanness, in your first birth, you can't overcome. You can't manufacture the virtues. You can't manufacture being a Christian. It's either there or it isn't. You either have the life or you don't. But how did they know? Brother Manuel, I'm wondering, how did they know what they looked like in the sight of the giants? Because they said, we look like in our own sight, we're as grasshoppers. But then they turned around and said, in their sight, we're grasshoppers. Did you go out with them and have some drinks? And ask them, hey, guys, what do we look like in your sight? Were they yelling across, hey, we see you up there, you borderline believers. We see you up there on the mountain. You know what you look like to us, grasshoppers? Well, yeah, we're a long ways away. We're on top of the mountain. And how did they know that? Now they're just making stuff up. Now they're imagining. Yeah, when I turn out the light, that demon that's there in the dark, I look like a grasshopper to him. He doesn't even exist. What are you talking about? Where did you get that? We're not dealing with... This is where conspiracy comes in. These guys were off into conspiracy. Well, here's what they think about us. I had a pastor, a renowned pastor, tell me this years ago, sincerely. He says, Brother Baker, I would let go and let the Holy Spirit move in the services, but what keeps me from doing it is the fact that I don't know how to control it. I thought, well, you know, thank you for being honest. But you see, it wasn't sent for you to control. It was sent to control you. Well, I don't want things to get out of hand. Then let go and let God. We got 66 books, 1,277 messages. I'm pretty sure that he's able to keep things into control. Oh, but we might get something that's fake. You already have something that's fake. You're trying to get something that's real. Well, we might have some fanaticism. I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all. So this evil report that was given by the tribal leaders, the pastors, caused others to doubt, caused others to fear. And they began to moan, and they began to complain, and some even wanted to go back to the denominations, would disbelieve the sign, and began to discredit the messenger. This is wrong, and that's wrong, and this is every sense I came into the message, this, that, and the other. I'm going back to where I can have six beers. We're not seven. Who came up with six? You can't make this stuff up. It's okay for you to hug women. Well, yeah, you always wanted to do that because you weren't born again. People make these confessions. Oh, I can finally, I'm free to hug somebody that's not my wife. Well, that's because you want to do it. Well, you don't? No, I don't want to hug my wife. Really? She didn't pay me to say that. Moses, why did you even take us out of Egypt to begin with? Brother Branham, you're a false prophet. We're just going to die out here in the wilderness. The book ain't open. Nobody can possess the promises of God's word. Nobody can live without being an alcoholic. Nobody can resist drugs. Nobody can resist pornography. Nobody can live right. Nobody can be a father according to the scriptures in this hour. Nobody can be a mother according to the scriptures. Nobody can live this. The denominations believe that. And the ones that don't believe that believe that they're going to do it out of legalism. You know? That they're somehow, you know, do this and don't do that, that that's how you're going to do it. Well, what's the new birth got to? You don't even have to become a Christian then. Because it's you. Cain. That's a Cain spirit. Cain brought the works of his hands and said, "Here, Lord, take it or leave it." And the Lord looked at it and said, "Are you kidding? I'm leaving it." And he was offended. Abel gave God what God wanted. Cain gave God what he could do, the works of his own hands. These things have to be cut. Yeah. Because they're keeping some people from taking their full inheritance. Yeah. Right. And if they're in our way, what do I got to do? All right, now what do I got to do? Right. Next. I ain't pointing it at you now. Don't worry. This is a real sword, but the sword that we're using is the sword of the word. And we're not fighting a flesh and blood battle. Spirits, powers, principalities from on high. Now, if you want to defend one of those spirits and believe that that spirit's you, you might get hurt. Right? And maybe you'll learn to get out of the way. But that's not you. That's a spirit that you've aligned yourself up to. Hallelujah. Amen. Moses, you just took us out of the denominations, and now nothing's happening. We've been waiting 60 years now. What's? Nobody can possess the promises that are in God's word. We'll have to wait till the millennium. Not only are we going to die, but our children are going to die if we stay out here in the ranks of the message. We got to go be part of the denominations again. We better start patterning ourselves after the religious movements of the world if we want to survive. They have concerts, we'll have one. What's wrong with a concert? Nothing. As long as the inspiration doesn't come from denominations, which it did. We'll have harmony in the desert. How's that working out? Is there harmony in the desert? Do we have more harmony here now? Anybody here named Harmony? We still have the desert. Well, Brother Baker, let's just find things that we can get together around, as the world does. Well, that's easy. Play ball! What kind? I don't care. You can get together around anything in the world is. Well, Brother Baker, obviously, we can't come to agreement around the world. Word. World. Slip of the tongue there. We can't come to agreement around the word. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, not only can you, you are. Don't sit there and make your little list of, well, I disagree with this and I disagree with that. And Brother Ram said we wouldn't all agree and whatever, and take quotes out of context like that. If you're having trouble with it, put it before the Lord. In fact, don't even need to talk about it. Pray about it. It'll come right across the pulpit. Then instead of you getting mad, you get glad. Say, thank you, Lord, for dealing with that. Oh, no, we can't come to agreement around the word, so we got to find other reasons to soothe our conscience so that we can believe that we're all one body and that the word is, that Christ is stepping into his body in this last hour. Friends, there's no way that you can be looking at everybody else saying, we're right, everybody else is wrong. And if you want to be right, you got to come to us. Our church is the only one that's right. And our pastor's the husband. Or whatever. The Pope. Whatever it might be. You say, I know who you're talking about. Let me keep going and you'll think of more people. Because the devil is doing this. And we're calling them liars. Because Paul never behaved that way. Paul never said, just think of me as your husband. He says, I've begotten you to Christ. But he says, as a chaste virgin, and I'm jealous over you, lest you be beguiled as Eve was. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Not just, you know, I drive a Ford, you drive one too. You know, found off-road dead. Oh, sorry. Ford's a pretty good vehicle now. But you don't have to eat berry pie. All of us don't have to go hunting to show how spiritual we are. You know, there was a time when you had to wear a belt buckle and it had to have an eagle on it. If you didn't have that, you weren't a believer. You were a moron. Well, I got a piece of the floorboard that the angels stood on when it talked to Brother Branham. Well, I got a splinter from the cross that Jesus hung on. And I got a jar with St. Michael's heart in it. But have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I'm sorry, I know I'm kind of tearing it up this morning, but sometimes you got to tear some things up before you can rebuild. So God told these complainers, and we're about a third of the way through our notes, so we'll pull over here in just a moment. God told these complainers, since you've said what you've said, I'm going to let you die out along the way. But I am going to take your children that you said we're going to die out if we stay outside, if we don't go back to the denominations. I'm going to take them. And I'm going to keep them. And I'm going to take them all the way into the land. And when they get there, the people, the inhabitants of the land are going to shake in their boots. And I'm going to go before them. And every battle that they face, I'm going to fight for them. And they're not going to lose one. But you'll die here. The Lord told him, you know what? You're going to wander around and around and around until all of you are dead, except for Joshua and Caleb and those of your generation that believe the message of Moses, believe what Moses preached, who never doubted my word concerning them. Friends, it's okay to wonder how is God going to do it. That's human. But in your soul, you say, I don't know how, but he's going to do it. The Lord says, you know what? I've already spoken personally to Joshua and Caleb. In fact, I've went further than that. I was so pleased with their testimony that I told Moses, give them their inheritance now, 40 years before they ever go into that land. Give it to them now. Based upon their confession. Because they believed wholly in their heart and confessed with their lips. Give it to them now based on their response to my promises when they saw what I promised to them. You see, they didn't look around at the land. They didn't see Satan's Eden and say, it's too hard. They didn't see Satan's Eden and say, nobody's perfect. They didn't see Satan's Eden and say, nobody can possess the stature of a perfect man. Nobody can possess the fullness of Christ. Nobody can come to maturity. Nobody can come back to speaking terms once again. No one can be spotless, without blemish, robed, arrayed in garments that are pure and white. Nobody can do that. They didn't say, you know what? I'm educated. And because I'm educated, that makes me a critical thinker. Therefore, I'm supposed to be critical. Don't change the word to match your condition. Change your condition to match the word. Amen. You don't like what you see, say, change my heart, oh God. Yes. Therefore, I'm supposed to be critical. That's why I send you messages on Monday when I know that you're at your weakest about what I didn't like about Sunday. You can't make this stuff up. I'll always be this way. I'm supposed to be this way. You know, I've got these certain genes from my family tree. And so I can never overcome being anxious or being fearful or being unsettled. Friends, it's true that you might have the propensity towards nervousness that somebody else doesn't have. But you have something in you to overcome that and not be overcome by it. The temptation will be there. But greater is he that's in you. Brother Baker, we're just all sinners saved by grace. Yeah, we were sinners. And we were saved by grace. Well, that's all we'll ever be. Speak for yourself, my Baptist friend. We can't be partakers of that divine nature. You know what? Just get over it. When I blow up, get over it. That's not overcoming. That's that river that flows in Egypt called the Nile. You'll remember that. I've heard this before. This is another Egyptian story. Another story about a river called the Nile. Joshua and Caleb said, you know what, just shut up. You guys are... Brother Brandon said, when they came back, he said that Caleb wasn't a very big guy. He said he was a little sawed-off kind of a guy. Most of the heroes of the scriptures are little guys. He said, so He jumped up on a stump, which is what he had to do just to be heard. He said he beat his chest, and then he pointed his finger at these other 10 spies that were giving their evil report, and he said, shut your mouths. We have found you to be liars. I'm sorry, I don't mean to, I'm not pointing at you, Jill. That is you, right? Okay. Shut up! I don't want to hear this. We're all just saved by grace. Yeah, I do want to hear that part. I was saved by grace. I was a sinner. But then I died out. And a new creature has been born.
Amen.
I'm a believer now.
Amen.
I'm an overcomer now. I have a new nature now. So I'm going to enter in and possess the land. I'm going to take the land. God is with us. God goes before us. So we are more than able to possess the land. Brother Baker, why didn't I hear this sooner? You know, I asked myself the same question when I was 28. Don't ask it. You're hearing it. This was in the shadow that was laid there. Joshua parallels the book of Ephesians, or Ephesians parallels Joshua. So, how is he with us today? He's not just with us, he's in us.
Amen.
And you mean to tell me if he's in you that you're going to be defeated? How many feel the same way this morning?
Amen.
Our confidence is in him.
Amen.
The captain of the host is here.
Amen.
The angel of his own covenant is here.
Amen.
And he will keep his word concerning you.
Yes.
He will lead you and guide you.
Amen.
He'll take you all the way.
Amen.
He'll not lose a single one. I thank you, Father. All that you've given me will come. I'll not lose a one. That's the power of this blood.
Amen.
Brother Baker, I'm going to overcome fears. I'm going to overcome doubts. I'm going to overcome characteristics of my first birth. I'm going to take on this new nature and thereby take on my divine inheritance, possess my God-given mountain, and run every demon off of that mountain. God didn't bring me this far, Brother Baker, to let me perish without an inheritance. God will keep his word concerning me and my house and my house. That's part of my inheritance. God don't want you to be sad over there. He doesn't want you to be over there thinking, you know what, I wish my family would have made it. Come on, friends. We'll preach on that again. You have a promise. You'll say, how do I know? Ask him for that faith. How did Abraham know? Show me where God said, Abraham, go down there and save Lot. Show me where God told him to do it. He did it by faith. And then he said, Lord, he asked him. He said, Lord, if I can find 50. Don't you think he was thinking about Lot when he said it?
Yes.
If I can find 50, which includes Mr. and Mrs. Lot and their kids. Will you hold back the wrath? Sure, Abraham. Sure thing. Who was Abraham thinking of? Then it went from 50 to 40, 40 to 30. It came down to Lot and the family. Brother Bram told us that's the spirit of Christ. Friends, if that took place under a guy that wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost, what about somebody that is? Glory to God. God did not bring me this far to let me perish without an inheritance. God will keep his word concerning me and my house. So Caleb looked upon his mountain and he saw the fruits that were there. His mountain was near Hebron, which is where he visited. And Moses told him, he says, you know what? God told me to tell you something. Moses said, God told me to tell you, Caleb, that's your mountain. It's not a coincidence that the fruits that you partook of are coming from your plantation. Those are your bananas. You like bananas, right? Those are your pomegranates. Those are your figs that you're eating. You weren't just tasting of the goodness. Oh, you can't make this stuff up. What you've been partaking of, that's your inheritance. It's not somebody else's, it's yours. And you will partake of it, Caleb. So Caleb said, you know what? I've tasted of it. It's been given to me. Therefore, I don't know how long it's going to take us to get into that land, but I can't be destroyed, because how can you be a partaker of an inheritance and die? I cannot be defeated. Nothing can keep me from it, because I've already been given. I've already been told, you will possess this inheritance. You will possess the gates of your enemies after the trial. For the promises unto me and to my children. Oh, hallelujah. I'm taking my mountain, friends. I'm not going to die in this journey. I'm not going to perish. I'm not going back. I won't go back. Can't go back to the way it used to be. What's there to go back to? Bridges have been burned. They won't have me back anyway. They'd say, no, go back where you came from. You're not happy here. You're looking for a real God. We've got Rembrandts that are painting pictures of him. I'm not going to die in this journey, no matter what happens to anybody else. There'll be at least one there. But I already know that there'll be more than one, because I've heard the vision. The prophet of God gave me this inheritance, Caleb said. And a prophet in this age showed me where my inheritance is. And I'm going to possess it. No matter what comes my way. No matter what obstacles I face along the way. I will. I can. Well, friends, that's exactly how you and I ought to look at the word this morning. The word concerning you and I. We cannot perish. But we have been given eternal life. Life without end. How are you going to miss it? You're saying you're putting too much confidence in yourself. I didn't mention me. I've been given a promise. He cannot lie. He can't give us a promise and then take it back. And the land that he's given to us this day, friends, it's the fullness of the word. And it's to be partakers of the divine nature and to possess and manifest every divine promise of the Word of God for our day. So who can say in their hearts this morning, we are more than able to take this land? Not in your head, in your heart. We are more than able. Oh, friends, I know we can look at ourselves. And if I be honest this morning, I look at myself and I wonder, how can I do this? But then I get my eyes off of myself and I get it back on the promise. I don't look at the chaos, people getting out of step and getting out of line. I look at the promise and I say, we're more than able. We're more than able to take this. We are more than able to defeat lust. We are more than able to defeat temper. We are more than able to overcome anxiety. We are more than able to overcome fear. We are more than able to overcome sickness. We are more than able to overcome depression. We are more than able even to face death down and to say, not this time. This last and chosen generation, there are people that will not go into the dust of the earth. This revival is without end. This revival ends up in a body change. The cycle of revival and death is broke. This revival ends with a body change. Not with you going into the ground, but with a body change. So is there anybody in the building this morning that can say, the curse of death is being lifted concerning me? I am no longer under that curse. I cannot die any more than God can die. My messenger told me that. The word of God has told me that. I am no longer under that curse. I have passed from death unto life. Oh, my body might go by the grave. We don't know, friends, but there's going to be a people. And if your body goes by the grave, you haven't died. You just got picked up by a limousine called death, taken over into another dimension, waiting to come back to pick up your body. I'm no longer under that curse. So death and everything under it has to obey me, the word concerning me this morning. Amen. Can you say that?
Amen.
Even this body has to obey me.
Amen.
Oh, it did this morning. The alarm went off, and I said no. And something in me said yes. I was having a strange dream this morning. Not that I don't always have strange dreams, but somehow, I was working for Fox News. And in the dream, I'm telling all these people why Fox News and I decided to go different directions. Because we don't have the same values any longer. And I'm just hoping that they're going to play everything that I said and not change it. And somehow, I ended up with a bunch of ministers. I think there's a spiritual... I'll wait for the Lord to, if there's a meaning there that he wants to give us, he'll reveal it. But ended up with some ministers, and, you know, I'm standing same place that they're standing, and, you know, we're not going to compromise, we're not going to change, we're not going to change our values for anybody, politics, anything else. I shouldn't have said that. Now I got your mind going another direction. But, you know, I don't know if you ever do this, but if you're a dreamer, you probably do. You wake up, you're kind of enjoying the dream. Actually, you're enjoying sleep. But you can't just leave that dream that way. When you're dreaming the dream, before you completely come awake, you can't change the dream. The dream's just happening, right? But maybe you don't like the way it's going. So you wake up a little bit, you start going back to sleep, and what do? You start changing the dream. Right, where you're the hero or whatever. Well, it's time to get up when you're doing that. It's your imagination's working overtime. Oh, hallelujah. Do you love him?
Yes.
Even this body has to obey the word concerning me. Because this body no longer rules over me. The word takes preeminence.
Amen.
Amen. So, friends, I'm taking authority over it by the word of God. I'm overcoming by the word of my testimony. The word has come to me, and the word is lived out, which produces a testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb, which is the life of the Lamb. I'm taking authority over this body by the word of God, and by the manifestation of that divine nature that I believe by faith is living in me. And is working in me. Because within me this morning, Brother Dutch, is perfect faith. How could you say that? Because in my soul, I believe.
Amen.
Before I was born again, I doubted. In my soul now is faith.
Amen.
Perfect faith. In my soul is perfect rest. How many can say that? In my soul is joy unspeakable and full of glory in the midst of my trials. In my soul is strength for this journey. Strength to overcome, to face it, to continue on in the face of giants, in the face of whatever enemy comes against me, in the face of the squatters that are on my inheritance, that are still trying to feed off of my old life. I'm not going to focus on them. I'm not going to let them be what I focus on. But instead, I'm focusing on my inheritance. Instead, I'm focusing on what God said concerning me. What belongs to me, what I'm supposed to possess. I'm not going to spend all my time talking about Mount Vesuvius. We mentioned it. But I'm going to talk about the cure. Those giants might be saying this morning, friends, you'll never get over these certain things. And they lie to every one of us the same way. In other words, they're saying to you, we don't have to leave. Why don't we just cohabitate? Land for peace. There won't be any peace as long as we're living on the same land. Well, we're not going to go. How many can say to those giants this morning, if you stand in my way, you will be defeated?
Amen.
Not because I say so, because the word says so.
Amen.
You can't keep me from my inheritance. How many can say that?
Amen.
The 10 spies and their followers will say, you are taking too much upon yourselves. You realize that. Who do you think that you are? I'm starting to figure it out. You're made of the same material that we are. Well, physically speaking, maybe. And we know that it isn't possible to overcome and to possess what the prophet said was ours. But you see, that couldn't be any further from the truth this morning. I have zero confidence in my first birth. I have zero confidence in my ability. I have zero confidence in my fallen nature that I was once a prisoner to serve. My confidence this morning, friends, is completely in what God has already said concerning me. There's where my confidence is at. He's given me His word. Has He given you His word? Therefore, I am more than able to possess the word concerning me. Amen? I didn't start on this journey to go part of the way. I didn't go start on this journey to go part of the way and fall away. God used His prophet to tell me what my inheritance is by the Holy Spirit. And God is going to lead me into the direction of my promised land and into my full inheritance. And I will take it at once. I'm not playing around. Oh, but I've got this loved one and that loved one and this one and that one. You've got to make your calling and election sure first. Make it sure, and then there's room for others. Hallelujah. God's servant is now dead. Can we say that? No, he's not pastoring beyond the curtain of time. He is now dead. He's went on to his reward. But his word concerning me endureth forever. And I will take it. And I'll take it at once. I won't take it next week or next month or next year. I'm taking it now. So friends, we need to make up our mind that we are going to take that land. That we are going to possess these exceeding great and precious promises that are given unto us. That we need to make up our mind. So let's start this new year off properly. Amen? With a clear confession towards God's word. This year will be different. I'm going further. I'm going higher. I'm going stronger. And Lord, the word that you've given me is sharp. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Nothing's going to stand in my way. I will overcome all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I will be what you've declared that I already am. I will match that vision. I will walk into what you've already declared concerning me. Not a resolution, but a confession. A confession of faith based on a vision that's been put before us and has been placed before us to walk in. How many can say that, friends? We don't need to see the land ourselves ahead of time, but the Holy Spirit has declared to us through His messenger and by vision what is in our land of inheritance, and the fruits have been brought back and demonstrated. Amen. We will walk into this fully. We will take and possess every part. This new generation has to be circumcised, friends. It has to be circumcised. Things have to be cut off that have been heaped upon us, that have hindered us along the way. There have been many, many things along the way that have kept the prior generation from entering in. And it's time that we enter into the fullness of the word. It's time that we walk into this message, that we walk in this light, and it's a beautiful light. It's time that we enter into the fullness of the word that's been declared for this hour. The seals have been opened. The seals have been taken off the book. And the mysteries have been revealed. They're no longer mysteries. They've been revealed. And we found that we aren't just spectators any longer. We aren't just watching the unveiling. But we found out, Brother Calvo, that we are actually a part of what's being unveiled. The messenger and the message are one. Well, the people and the message are one as well. We are now looking on an open book. And the land is open before us. Who will go with me? Who believes our report? The walled city has come down. The book has come open. The things that have hindered us are no longer there. We are here in the last day, friends, the last part of the Gentile age, and we are here to see the fulfillment of the promise concerning the church. We are here in the golden age. We are here in the time that nature has been groaning and travailing for, that the prophets of old longed to look upon and couldn't even look upon it, and you're living it. Every New Testament promise lies before us and is to be fulfilled in our day. Why would we need it fulfilled in the millennium? There are prophecies concerning the millennium, but there are prophecies concerning us that must be fulfilled before the millennium. So it requires that every hindrance that has been heaped upon us by every age, that it all be cut away with a sharp knife. And we've had a prophet come with the sword of the king, and he's taken every lien that's hindered every church age for the last seven church ages. I have somewhat against thee. It's all been cut off. Amen. Every bit of it. A title search has been taken all the way back to the beginning. And the declaration is you didn't do it to begin with. Because the title search went back to the beginning. There were no liens on the title. And you were there.
Amen.
Amen. So all of that is being removed so that you can walk in what God has already declared concerning you. How many believe that this morning? This requires every hindrance to be cut away. So we must not fail. Those that are alive and remain are waiting for us to walk in. They've run their race. We've got to run ours. We've got scriptures to fulfill in our day. And we must press in, friends, to that promised land and see every promise fulfilled in our lives. We are to roll away the reproach that's been heaped up over the people over the last 60 years. The reproach that's hindered the church, and we've been cutting away, and I'm pulling over here in just a moment, but we've been cutting away at it a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here. Pastors that have made themselves kings and gods and husbands and all other kind of nonsense. Your prophet didn't call us. He didn't say he was our husband. Turns out people that say that, they deny the message now anyway. They've got their own message. They're using him as a platform. Come on, friends. Not me. I wholly believe this word. I wholly believe the message that has been given to us in this hour. I believe it. I believe the parts I understand. I believe the parts I don't understand. I'm convinced this message is mine. I'm convinced that the vision that I'm in it, and that I'm walking in it, and that I will be there. I will be the manifestation, the fulfillment of it. How many believe that this morning? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who can stop us? Who can come against the sword of the king this morning? Amen. We are to roll away that reproach. We are to roll away everything that's hindered the church from the coming of the Lord, that's hindered the church from full possession of the promise, which culminates in a body change. There can't be any liens for some of us to look death in the face and say, you don't have a right any longer. Because death has to be conquered. The only way death can be conquered is if the fullness of the word is here and someone is living it. So since this book has been opened to us, friends, we look at it differently than the denominations do. And we should. We look at it differently than we once did. The denominations look at the scriptures and they see nothing more than historical events or future events. They see a journey to a promised land that we're talking about here this morning. And they see it as an event that took place in the Old Testament with a certain people that they can't relate to in a certain time of history. But you and I, we see that it's actually prophesying, that it's forerunning, it's foreshadowing an end time people. A people that will possess the inheritance, of people that will walk in the promises that have been given to them by God's word. And we've heard things that have been heaped up upon us over the last 60 years or so, but it's time for another cutting away. It's time for another circumcision. It's time for things to be cut away that have hindered the church. We've been told that Pentecost is a dirty word, and we've been told that the new birth comes differently than it did before, or in a more dignified way. It only comes one way, whether it's in a pink decorated hospital room or in a pig pen or in a barn. It's a mess, but it brings forth life. We've heard that the prophet who led us out of Egypt has to come back before we can go into the land. Speak for yourself. We've heard that God doesn't want us to feel anything or to sense his presence among us, that we just believe that he's with us. And we've been told that we have to wait for a tent, and we have to wait for other things that have been put on hold cold until then, that our body change will take place in a tent, of all places, while others are responding to an altar call that we've been told is wrong. Friends, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be an altar bench in the church, and you don't have to come down to a bench in the church, but God will call you to an altar. It started in the Garden of Eden. It ends in the book of Revelations. We've been told that we have to wait for a tent, and that all things have been put on hold until then. Speak for yourself. We've been told that the days of miracles have passed again after being restored after 2,000 years. We've been told that the gifts are no longer amongst us. Speak for yourself. If the giver's here, the gifts are here. I'll show you where he put them in. You show me where he took them out. You say, I don't want a major on a minor. Who said we're majoring on it? Just don't get rid of it. Listen, friends, we are believers. We're believers. Amen? We are believers. And there is truly nothing more than we can do than just believe. But since we have believed, we are seeing things take place that are promised to us by the Word of God. Amen. Concerning us. And we believe that within the message, there is a sharp knife. And it cuts. It's not meant to, it's not a flesh and blood battle, but it will cut. The message has taken us first back to the Word, and then we have seen the Lamb open the Word to us. The same gospel that was once delivered to the saints must be restored. Therefore, we are going to continue to use statements from the message to refute things that have been taught in error along the way that have hindered us from taking our full inheritance, because our absolute is the Word. How many can say amen to that? But people will take the word, such as John 14:12, and they'll say, well, that was for the prophet only. Well, show me where the prophet said that. Show me where Jesus said that. But you won't find where the messenger taught that it was just for him. So those things must be cut off. They must be cut away. Can you say amen? That thought that it was only for him has been sewn into the fabric of our message by false tailors. But they were not the one that granted for me to be arrayed in linen pure and white. That was given to me, not by them, but by him. So on the contrary, our message teaches us that it is for every believer in every age. And we'll just read that. We're pulling over here in just a moment. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, how many believes on him? Amen. The works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, or more, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, maybe it'll happen. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, is that true or not? That's the Word of God. It's still true this morning, is it not? Well, Brother Baker, you can't major on a minor. Got the sword. We're beyond this and we're beyond that. I'm not going to argue with you, friends. What a deception. The theme of every age is more. 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 So we've got things that weren't restored to us until this last age. Now that they've been restored, we didn't do away with them. We've got more. We've got things that weren't restored until this last age, but they've been restored. So we have more than the previous age, right? And then men want to take away from us what took so many centuries to restore back to the church. Doesn't even make sense. And they'll say, well, those things are a minor, so we don't need them. Speak for yourself. You sound like a good Baptist. Our whole theme is more, greater, more. Greater. We just read it to you. Greater, more, greater, more. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Greater and more, greater and more. So our whole theme is more. God's adding and adding and adding. We're not taking away. So we take all of what he's done plus. Can you say amen to that this morning? You see, our message is the fullness. It's no longer the days of in part are being done away with. That which is in part is done away with. It's the age of fullness. So we are in the hour where the fullness is now among us, and the fullness is a person. The fullness is Christ the Word. The last mystery has been given to the church. Revelation 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, how many believes that he has? Then the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And what has he declared to his servants the prophets? The word of God. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Stand, please. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise.
Let me find the dock. Moses was told since he was a child, you're something special. Was he? It's not a trick question. You're something special. God sent a prophet. You believe that, Moses? Yeah. Oh, and you are his prophet. And you've been placed here in this day for a purpose. Now, did Moses get to choose his position? No. Do you?
No.
What you do is accept it.
Yeah.
You have been born of your mother's womb for this cause. There's a work that you must do. This isn't just for Moses. There are many prophecies concerning your birth, Moses, your ministry, your day. So is it with an end time people. God is going to set the church free in your day. And he will demonstrate to the world that they are his chosen people.
Amen.
The last and chosen generation. And that he knows their names. Amen?
Amen.
Well, what's that got to do with me this morning, Brother Baker? Thank you for asking. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. You see, God has told you through a prophet that you've been called for a purpose. And that you've been placed here in this age for a work that you must do. To be living epistles read of all men. He's told you that you are the bride to Jesus Christ. And as long as we go no further than hearing the promised word for our day, we'll run out like Moses and try to do the prophecy ourselves, and we will utterly fail. So you see, we must do more than hear the prophecy. We must meet the one who made the prophecy face to face and take him at his word. And allow him to vindicate that word in our lives. And only that way can we go forward with confidence and become the prophecy manifested in flesh. Are you with me?
Yes.
Jesus said all things are possible. Do we believe that? But that's only half the quote, as we would say. He said all things are possible to them that believe.
Right.
How many say, I believe? That's what I've been trying to tell you, Brother Doug. I believe, I believe, I believe. Then where is the manifestation of your faith? If you believe, you will see what you claim to believe. Manifest it. No excuses.
Amen.
Well, that hurt. Well, duh. It's a sword. Let go. Let it get cut away. You won't feel it anymore. If something gets cut out of your life and it's not there anymore, it can get stabbed all over and over and over, but it's not in you any longer.
Amen.
So what we need this morning, friends, is men and women, boys and girls, who are willing to not only take God at his word, but to cry out until they see it manifested in their lives. Amen. To be part of the picture. So how many are willing this morning to stand to your feet? Too late for that. You're already standing. And say, I'm more than able. I'm more than able to take what God has promised. For me. And I'm here this morning to say that the price has already been paid.
Amen.
Everything that he's promised me is for my good. And no devil is going to keep me from possessing my inheritance. My low self-esteem, my worry, none of that's going to keep me. The promise is unto me. And I know this because he's called me by name in his word. So I'm not stopping devil. I'm not stopping demons. I'm not stopping whoever fill in the blank until I possess my full inheritance. Is that your confession? I'm dragging my body to a a body change.
Hallelujah.
And I'm bringing my body into subjection to the fullness of the Word of God for my day. No puny little giant is going to keep me from my inheritance. No excuse, no piddly little excuse, sorry little excuse is going to keep me from a body change. The grave is not my destiny. The skies are my destiny. I am now alive this morning, and I will not hinder those that are asleep by believing false prophecies or false word. I'm taking my mountain.
Amen.
How many can say that?
Amen.
It is my inheritance, so I will possess it, and I will not perish along the way, but I will possess my full inheritance. Why would God give me an inheritance and then kill me? I will possess it. He has made me this morning, friends, worthy to be a partaker. I was not worthy. He's made me worthy. I won't argue with him. He says, you're worthy. How am I worthy? I made you worthy. I changed you. You agreed to die out. I killed that old nature. You allowed me to do it. I killed it. Amen. And then that other nature that was laying there dormant, waiting to be quickened, that came from me. Well, then I quickened it. And then you invited me to come in, and I came in. And now I'm supping with you and you with me. We're overcoming, friends.
Amen.
Amen. This book is now open to me, Brother Merritt, and I'm taking it by force. No matter what other people do, no matter what other people say, I cannot be defeated. Amen. For God has made a way for me, and I'm walking in it. Is that your confession this morning? We're going to line our confession up to somebody or something. I want to line my confession up. Now, if you're just hearing these things for the first time, it's all in the Word of God.
Amen.
We're not preaching another word. We didn't come with another Bible, but the Bible that we're reading is being restored as it was promised to be. Amen? Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, as we stand here this morning, we love you so much. Lord, we're so thankful for the exceeding great and precious promises that you've given to us that are in Christ Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, that you have made us priests and kings, that you have made us more than conquerors, because it's the conqueror is in us. Lord, that you've overcome sin, that you've overcome sickness, that you've overcome death, evil. You've overcome all things, and you are the great and mighty conqueror, and you've given unto us the victory. Now, Lord, we know that we're helpless without your word. And we know that there was a portion of your word that was reserved for our day to be opened, to be manifested, because it's time. And you, in your infinite wisdom, you wrote the whole plan, the whole plan of redemption. And in your ultimate wisdom, you chose for it to be restored back in this hour. We know that the first church was waiting for the coming of the Lord. We know that Paul preached for 30 years before there was, for many years perhaps, before there was written epistles. They weren't even written yet. But Paul said, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not hinder those that are asleep. Lord, we know that there was a people that were believing the fullness of the word. We're looking through that portal. We're looking through to a change. And Lord, as I started to say at the beginning of this message, we're standing in this place called Portal. And I told my wife, I said, this is just a little taste of something that's unique to Arizona, unique to our area. I said, it's like there's a portal here into something else. And then it dawned on me where the name Portal came from. I never understood why they named it Portal. It's because I'm not the first one to think that or feel that or to sense it. And Lord, I believe that we're all sensing it this morning. Those of us that are end time believers, those of us that have come this far in our journey, we're looking through, Lord, in Revelation chapter 4, a voice said, come up after these things, after the church ages, a voice spoke and said, come up hither, and I will show you things that are to be. A voice spoke, said, come up higher. Lord, we're standing in one dimension, but we can see, Lord, by faith into that other dimension this morning. By faith, we can see that our loved ones are on the other side. By faith, we can see that our King is on the other side, preparing. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He's interceding on our behalf, even as we speak. But at some point, He's going to come and claim everything that He's purchased, the fullness of redemption, and our bodies will be changed. Lord, we which are alive and remain unto Your coming will not hinder those that are asleep, but will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We'll be caught up with those that have went to sleep over the ages. We will meet them in the air. We will meet You in the air. And we will go to be with You in that great wedding supper in that other dimension. Lord, we long for these things. We look forward to these things. But in the meantime, Lord, we want to be possessors of every divine promise that You've given to us. Why would You restore something just to educate us or to cause us to have an intellectual conception? We need a conception this morning, but it's a conceiving of the Word that's being birthed in us. Not an idea, but the person of the Word. Father, I pray that You would minister to each and every heart. I pray, Lord, that You'd look upon everyone in the building, those that are listening in, those that will be listening in. And Lord, our desire is to go all the way. It's not to go part of the way. We didn't cut ourselves. We didn't start this journey to just be different. But Lord, we came out of something to go into something. And what we're going into is the fullness of what You've promised for us. Lord, we're a blessed people. I pray that each one would be encouraged. I pray, Lord, that as we stand here this morning, we're not going to make a New Year's Eve resolution, but Lord, it's past New Year's Eve now. And we wouldn't make a resolution. We wouldn't make some kind of promise that we don't know whether we'll keep or not. But Lord, we will say this morning, we're going to walk. We believe Your Word, and we're going to walk into it. And we are going to possess the inheritance that You've given to us. And that we will overcome by the blood of the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we will confess that we will surrender to You and let You have preeminence in a bride body. Lord, that we'll walk in Satan's Eden and do something that no woman has ever done before. But this last Eve will overcome in a garden once again. She will not fall, but she'll have thus saith the Lord, or keep her mouth silent. She will be the last voice. Christ the Word speaking through her. She will be the last voice in this last age. And Lord, that voice is speaking forth from a body now, saying, I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. We are more than able, Lord, to take these exceeding great and precious promises and to go from just being professors to being possessors. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless each and every one. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I wonder if there's anyone here this morning that want to lift your hand to Him and say, Lord, that's my desire. We're going into this new year, and Lord, I want to go forward. I want to go onward, upward. I want to walk in every divine promise. I believe Your Word, Lord. Help my unbelief, Lord. Help me, Lord. If there's anything that's hindering my walk, Lord, kill it, Lord. Give me the Word concerning that. Let Your Word come and cut out any unbelief, anything that hinders, Lord. And Lord, I will profess to You that I'm going to walk in this light as You are in the light. If that's you this morning, why don't you just lift your hand? If you want to be remembered in prayer, Lord, You see hands all over the building. You know the heart that's behind the hand, Lord. And it's a supernatural act, Lord, because I believe it's not a preacher that's moving on hearts this morning. It's Your Word. Lord, You're personally ministering to each and every one. I'm not the one that made the promise. You are. Lord, we're just trying to be faithful servants and remind You, Lord, remind others of what You have declared. And so, Lord, as they take You at their word, that's the greatest compliment that they can pay You, is to believe Your Word. Now, Lord, I commit each and every one into Your hands. And Lord, may you take them further. May you take them higher. May you take them deeper. Lord, may there be testimony after testimony. Maybe not in the way that we would imagine. Maybe we'll not walk on water or empty out hospital beds or whatever. But Lord, your word will be fulfilled in our lives as you've spoken it. And Lord, we'll say unto you, be it unto me according to thy word. And your word is your will. So may your word be fulfilled in our lives, the word that you've declared for each and every one of us. Bless each and every one, Lord. And Father, we sure will give you praise and honor and glory every step of the way. Lord, our testimony will be on the other side as it is here. It was you all along. And Lord, that it was you. You are the overcomer. And you are, it's your word that's overcoming in our lives. Bless each and every one now, Lord, as we commit each and every one into your hand. And we give you praise and honor and glory. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning, I would be amiss to let a time go by. We just don't know. Lord, as you deal with hearts, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally in the power of your resurrection, Lord, that can't say, I know that I know that I know. Father, that's your desire for each and every one. I pray, Lord, that as they surrender to you, I pray, Lord, that as they say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to your word. I want you to make yourself real to me. Lord, as they repent of their wrongdoing, as they repent of their past life, and they recognize, Lord, that we were hell-bound in our first birth. But, Lord, they confess you as their Savior. They accept you as their sacrifice. And, Lord, if they'll be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Scripture, you promised that you would birth them again by your Spirit, give them the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, if there's anyone under the sound of our voice that's in that category this morning, Lord, if they want to lift their hand to you this morning and say, Lord, I surrender, take full control. Lord, I know that you'll not leave them empty-handed. You'll not leave them hanging out, Lord, but you'll meet them, Lord, because you'll honor your word. You honor your own word. Granted this morning, Lord, as we commit them into your hands now, in the lovely name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. I'm going all. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. Don't you know I'm going all the way with my Lord? God made my decision. I'm going all the way. I have made my choice. I'm going all the way. I have made my decision. I'm going all the way. Don't you know I'm going?